to Hollywood and the Pete McMurray Show on 720 WGN.
720 WGN, Pete McMurray in the Allstate Showcase Studios. We're live from Los Angeles, and it is our pleasure to welcome a man from Chicago. He got his start on WLS Radio, and now he hosts a little game show that you can see weeknights at 6:30 on ABC 7. It's Pat Sajak, the host of Wheel of Fortune. Good to see you.
Did you mention icon, living legend, any of those? I didn't hear.
You walk in, and you are a stud, man. You are in great shape.
Oh, well, thank you. I never thought of myself as a stud. Well, I appreciate that.
I mean, you got to
go flex.
You got to be skinny to be on TV, right?
Well, it helps. It does. You know, the old thing about it, adding a little weight does help. But, you know, as you get older, you have to start paying more attention to that stuff.
Right. But the big thing is you got great hair. I mean, let's talk about the hair. Look at how great that hair is.
Do you know, I'm really blessed because it's all mine. And my mother, I lost her a couple of years ago, but she not only had a great head of hair, but she didn't have a gray hair on her head. It was amazing. She had the darkest hair. People always accused her of coloring it, and she didn't. But yeah, I'm lucky that way. We did a bit one time on an April Fool's show some years ago where I supposedly took my hair off and I was totally bald. They put a bald cap on. And if you see it on YouTube, and mm-hmm. And people still ask me if I'm bald. I said, what, I exposed myself for one night and on April 1st?
I know. Yeah.
Well, anyway.
They just don't get it.
Yeah.
How often do you get back to Chicago? Do you have family there?
I no longer do. I lost my mother and a brother within the last couple of years, and they were the last of the family to live there. So it's been a long time since I lived there. I lived there until I was about 20 years old, and I joined the Army, and that was about 1968, so it's been a long time. But we've taped there several times. When my mom was living, I would go back a little more often, but we'll get back there again. I still love it. You know, it's wherever you grew up, you always carry a little bit of that around.
Oh, hold on. Go ahead.
Well, when you make
go
it
ahead.
Back to... No, that's
go
not
ahead.
That.
Uh-oh. No, go ahead.
All right. So, well, I you and I have a connection. I got my start when I was 12 years old with legendary radio DJ Dick Biondi.
Now, wait, what were you doing at 12 years old?
So my name's Scott Miller, and there was another DJ on his station named Scott Miller at the time.
Okay.
So at 12 years old, I go to the auto show, and I go up to Dick Biondi to get his autograph in my prepubescent voice. I go, could I sign this? And he goes, what's your name? And I go, Scott Miller. And he goes, get up here. I'll let you do the weather. So I went up on stage at the auto show and did the weather. And he goes, where are you from? I said, Orland Park. He said, I'll be down there next weekend. Come and see me. I went to the car lot he was doing his show from, show up. He goes, hey, little Scott Miller, get up here. I'll let you do the weather. I did the weather every Saturday from 12 years old to 18 years old at all of his remotes.
And your voice never changed.
Well,
that's the incredible part about it. Well, he was, you know, Dick's probably still working as far as
81
I know.
Years old and still on.
It's incredible. But actually, I never worked with the guy because what happened was they announced it when you said I started at WLS. That sounded really impressive, except
right.
I was on for 1 hour. He announced when they were going to do a guest team disc jockey thing where they would draw a postcard. You'll have to explain to your younger viewers or listeners what that is. But they would draw a postcard every week, and whoever's name was on it would come the following Saturday night and mm-hmm. guest and be a co-host with him for an hour. So the first week happens, you know, I'd set my card in, and they didn't pick me, and some kid was on. And at the end of the show, now let's see who'll be here next week, and they picked it out. It was me. But that week, Dick was sick, and so I didn't work. I actually, Art Roberts subbed for him, if you remember.
You're
Art
kidding.
From, yeah.
Are you sure that he wasn't fired or suspended?
Well, probably. I think sick was the code word for fired and or suspended. Mm-hmm. Dick would occasionally get on the wrong side of management people. But so I can honestly say I started at WS, which sounds very impressive.
So at 20, you joined the service. How did you get into TV?
I spent about a year and a half in Vietnam doing the Good Morning Vietnam deal.
Okay.
When I got out, I was in radio, and I was working at a tiny station in Murray, Kentucky, of all places. And I was 24 years old at the time, and I thought, my career is not going real well. And so I just decided one night to go to the nearest big town, which was Nashville, and see if I could get work in television. I visited every station, banged on every door. It took about 4 months, during which time I worked at a Howard Johnson's, as I recall, to make money. And finally, they got sick of seeing
Howard Johnson's.
I did. I was at the front desk checking Mr. and Mrs. Smith's in.
Mm-hmm.
And they finally got tired of having me come, and it just an announcer's position opened, just a staff announcer. Back in the old days, they would have people who sat in announce booths and would say, this is WSM in Nashville. And,
sure.
And that's
I like
what
how you put your hand on your ear for our
Listeners. Automatically.
It's so funny when you do old-time radio, you put your hand on your ear. when you're an announcer?
You know what they do now when people say, hey, call me, they always have to do the phone sign.
Right.
Call me. Like we don't, like I don't know what a phone is. Okay. They do. Anyway. So that's how I started, and the rest, of course, is television history.
Well, in 1981, Merv Griffin, is that when you got hired to do Wheel of Fortune?
Yeah, I was working in Nashville until about 77, and I worked from 72 to 77 in Nashville, and in L.A., they needed a weatherman at the local NBC station, and they sent some talent guy out. And back in those days, they would literally go into markets, sit in a hotel, and tape people. And they did, and they liked me, and they offered me a job to be the weatherman in Los Angeles. I came out there in 77, and when you're working in L.A. in local TV, you're kind of auditioning every night because producers are at home watching you do your thing. And Merv liked what I did, and this spot became open, and he called me, and you know, who knew that, you know, 32 years later I'd be sitting here.
Well, Chuck Woolery was the host, right?
Yeah, it's had an odd history. Went on the air on NBC in daytime with Chuck, and he did 7 years, and he left, and that's when they hired me. And
well, didn't Merv say, hey, if you need to put Pat in there?
Yeah, there was not the network was not receptive.
They didn't like you.
Well, it was not so much that because I'm a lovable lug. but what they
everybody loves Pat Sajak.
But I was untested and they were a little nervous about that, and they wanted someone a little more seasoned. And Merv, God bless him, said, you know what, take Pat or I'll take the show somewhere else. And
damn.
Because Merv believed in what he believed in. And,
look at that.
Yeah, I know. I mean, that's a pretty cool guy to have on your side.
Yeah, you want to talk about an icon in Hollywood? It's Merv Griffin.
So it's funny when he called me. I didn't really know the show, and it's Merv Griffin on the phone, you know, offering me a job, and I had to go. So I sort of, well, we'll talk tomorrow, Merv. And I had to go the next morning and watch the show because I didn't know the show. And I turn it on, and I swear to you, the first thing I said was to myself was, "There's nothing for me to do. I'm going to say yes. There's a three R's. This is what I trained for, and you know, did Shakespeare in the Park." Anyway, so and the other thing is, back then, game show hosts were kind of that stereotypical. More of them were that you know, hey, you want $10,000?
Right.
And I'm a little low key, and so I said to Merv, I'm not sure I can pull this off because I don't do that. And he said, you know, I like the way you do it your way. And God bless him again. He never once deviated from that. He never once said, why don't you try this? Why don't you do that? He let me do it.
Can you imagine Merv Griffin calling you and saying, I want you to host a new television game show. It's Hangman.
Well,
wow.
And that's the amazing thing.
It really is.
We are
with a wheel.
We're playing Hangman.
Yeah.
We're spinning a giant wheel. And why this has lasted, you know, people across America have kind of adopted us and made us part of their daily life cycle, and it's really amazing because if I went in to pitch that show today,
forget it,
I would be laughed out in about 2 minutes. They'd say, right. So what's the format? Well, I spin this wheel. Is there an R? No. And then I spin it again. That's it? No one gets voted off? No one gets, you know.
Right.
Yeah, so it was.
And there's a girl on the show that actually just puts her finger on a screen.
Well, and iPad and changes the,
now,
you know.
Back then, however, in fairness, she actually had to turn
it. Oh, I remember.
But then the carpal tunnel issue. And,
she sued the network.
Or tunnel carpal, which is it?
I will never forget. I mean, initially, when they would win the money and then have to buy it off those revolving showcases.
We dumped that a long time ago because, you know, people are nostalgic about that, but it was the most boring 2 minutes in television because there'd be a woman from Teaneck, New Jersey there, and you'd see her little head in a little circle,
yep.
And this turntable would go around with these cheesy prizes. Well, for $100, I'll buy it was excruciating.
Well, let me take a break. You're going to stick around for a while?
I got to go.
I'm going to take a break. We'll check some news. Pat Sajak with us. We're live from L.A. at 720 WGN.
Live from Hollyweird, the Pete McMurray Show on 720 WGN.
Hooray for Hollywood.
720 WGN in studio with us. He is the host of Wheel of Fortune. It is Pat Sajak. Thank you again for coming by.
Good to be here. And hear about 49 degrees somewhere else.
Yeah, how about that?
And you're saying, 49. Oh, it's finally warmed up.
Yes. I mean, it's nice to feel the sun in California. Yeah. It really is.
I growing up there, obviously been through some tough winters, but this one just looked just awful.
Yeah, it was the worst since, they say, 78 or 79. I had a paper route in 78, 79. It was terrible.
Boy, bring on the global warming.
And for people that are just tuning in, Pat Sajak, you got your start. You grew up in Chicago. You went to Farragut, right?
I did. And I don't think Farragut exists anymore. It turned into a vocational school, and I think it may have closed its doors. I hope I haven't misspoke.
Okay. But you got your start on WLS with the great Dick Biondi.
I did, and in a technical sense, he drew my postcard. But the week I did it, I was actually with Art Roberts. But I'm a postcard away from Dick Biondi.
You know what? We felt bad about that, so we decided to get Dick on the air with us. Dick Biondi joining us from WLS on with Pat Sajak. Dick, are you there?
And also hi to Pat.
Hey, Dick, how are you? People always ask me about the my first time on radio, and of course it was supposed to be with you, and you didn't show up. Was it a personal reason? Were you avoiding me already?
No. First of all, it was the teenage disc jockey, and the reason I didn't is because I got fired before.
Yeah. Woo! We knew it!
The guard, when I showed up that night, the guard said, Biondi's sick this week. I said, yeah, right.
Yeah. Well, it was such a thrill pulling your name up and then hearing you. But the most important thing is, even today, every time I think about it, how well you have done and become one of the really, truly great legends in TV.
Well, you're nice to say that. It was just a thrill for me because you've heard this before. But as a teenage kid growing up in Chicago, you were the guy. I mean, I learned how to shave listening to you. You do the shaving commercials and you give instructions. You're like a second dad. It was great, and I'm glad you sound great, and I'm glad you're still working. It's just a pleasure to talk to you.
That's a nice compliment. And if I can, Pat, real quick, it's amazing how your show, The Wheel of Fortune, and I have so much. Vanna White, his mother, and I worked together for years down in North Myrtle Beach, South Carolina.
I heard about that, yeah.
Yeah, and my dear buddy who we lost, Charlie O'Donnell, what a great, great guy. Three people that I truly love, and I miss Charlie something terrible.
Yeah, he was terrific. We all miss him. He was a great guy, but he made a great mark on the show.
When are you coming back to Chicago just to give us a look at you?
It's one of our favorite places to tape. I think we've done it at least three times, maybe more. And I know the coming season that starts in September. I know we're not coming because we've got our travel plans done. But it's one of our favorite places. I would be surprised if we go more than a couple more years without getting back there. So you'll be the first to know. You come see us.
And do me a favor. Just say thank you to Pete and also to Scott Miller. And Pat, continued success. And as we say in Italian, cindan, which means 100 years of life.
Thank you. Thank you, Dick. I appreciate it. Great to talk to you. Thanks for doing this.
Dick Biondi. Thank you, Dick. Good to talk to you.
Thank you, Pete. God bless.
Take care. This is great Dick Biondi. How about that?
Wow.
He's a legend.
He sounds exactly the Wild Italian, you know?
He does, man. Yeah. He sounds exactly the same, doesn't he?
That's good. That's great. Last time I saw him was probably 6 or 8 years ago.
He looks exactly the same.
Yeah, he looked fabulous. Yeah. I don't understand what he's doing, but I want to do something. Must be the pasta.
Such a weird full circle there. Pete McMurray, Dick Biondi on together. That's a little weird for me.
I like it.
It's a little weird for me.
That's good stuff. Pat, how many shows, Wheel of Fortune, do you do in a week? Do you do them all in one day?
No. It's a great schedule. There are two really good things about doing the show. Number one is they pay you pretty well.
Right.
And number two is you hardly have a job because typically I'll go in on a Thursday. We usually tape on a Thursday and Friday every couple of weeks, sometimes every 3 weeks. And we'll do 6 shows on each day. And that's it.
6 shows?
6 shows in a day.
Really?
But, most of the people who've done our show now, the staff and the crew, they've been with it not as long as I have, but a lot of them. I mean, if you're 15 years, you're one of the new kids.
Mm-hmm.
So my point is everyone knows what they're doing. It runs like clockwork. And, even when we tape, it's not a long. We start taping at noon. And even with a lunch or dinner break, we're out of there by 6 o'clock. We've done 6 shows.
So you do six shows.
Yeah.
Five days a week?
We do six. A couple of, typically we'll do six on a Thursday, six on a Friday, and I get like 2 weeks off.
That's what I want to know. I want to know your schedule.
It's embarrassing. When my kids were little, they didn't know I had a job because I was home all the time. And so I would say, Daddy's going to tape today. And they thought I worked like for 3M making scotch tape. They didn't quite get the concept. But it was great. I got to be a full-time dad and hold down what appeared to be a full-time job.
How awesome is that, man?
It really is. It is a great, it's just one of those odd things you stumble into, and it's worked out pretty well.
Okay, so you do six shows on Thursday and Friday. You get 2 weeks off.
You just hate me for that, don't you?
Well, I'm just trying to figure out, how many days do you work in a month? Do you do like Thursday and Friday?
I will tell you this. Over the course of a year, never mind a month, the course of a year, we tape. Now, I do other things. We do some promotional stuff. We tape other. But in terms of actually taping the shows, I work. Got a drum roll? I work 34 days a year.
Oh, my goodness.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen.
I love it. That's great. It is,
you know, when I talk to, when I'm interviewed by people, whether in radio or television, that's. You just see the green come up among the green envy come out. Wait, I'm here every day slaving away on this morning show, and it's great.
That's outstanding. Good for you.
Yeah, I'm very proud of it. I have no shame.
So you're done for the entire summer.
It's a kind of a sporadic schedule. I mean, if we wanted to, we could do all of our, we could do all of our shows in 3 weeks, but we spread them over about a 9-month period.
Okay.
But you typically in, May and June, I'm just kind of sitting at home and doing my toenails.
Please tell me you golf. Are you a golfer?
No, I was, and I was because my son loved to golf. I hated every moment of golfing.
Mm-hmm. And when most guys do until they get that unbelievable shot, and then they want to go back.
You know what?
Whenever
on the rare occasion I would hit an unbelievable shot, I was happy for only one reason. It meant I was closer to the end of the round. First of all, you play for like 92 hours, and then they say, you got 9 more to do. I mean, it's way too long. It's way too much. And I just, for some reason, I was not a bad golfer. I was a dangerous golfer. I could hit a ball, and I don't know how it's possible, I could hit a ball at a 90-degree angle. I don't know how you do that. If you're shooting in one direction, how it would go to the left.
Shanked it.
Mm-hmm. And people were ducking. It was a horrible thing. I quit before I killed someone.
Well, this guy right here, I mean, you're a great driver, but I haven't seen your short game.
Yeah, I mean, I don't golf. I've golfed twice in my life, but we go to the driving range, and that's all. Just get it as far as you can. Just smack the hell out of it.
The thing, and worse than golfing is golfers who want to tell you every after the game is over, they want to relive every shot, including yours.
And they want to talk about it. Absolutely.
I don't remember my shots nor care about them. But remember that putt on the fifth hole? No, I don't. I was drunk by then anyway.
Well, speaking of drunken shots, let's talk about it. Let's talk about the margaritas.
Yeah, go ahead.
You and Vanna in between tapings.
Tell the story. We were talking about this earlier.
Because we do this.
Yes. Sure. Years ago, when you referred to the shopping things, and because of that, tapings were very long as opposed to being short. Now we have it all down and we do it quickly. But back then, they had to move boats and gazebos out of the studio in between shows, and it would be just interminable breaks. We'd have dinner breaks that would be two and a half hours, 3 hours. And there was a convenient Mexican restaurant across from NBC in Burbank, Los Arcos, which is Spanish for the Arcos, by the way.
Really?
And they did have margaritas on the menu. Now, occasionally, Vanna and I would go over and maybe have one. But I was on a sports show a couple of years ago, and we're talking about it. I'm kidding around with the guy, and the one became six or whatever. I said, well, you can't do a show after six margaritas.
Right.
But that,
unless you're Charles Nelson Reilly,
well,
and you're
you
doing match game.
And you get funnier.
Right.
But it kind of went viral, and suddenly Vanna and Pat do the show drunk, but it got us a lot of pub. And there you
any
go.
Pub is good pub, right?
It's, well, apparently. No, you know what? Trending on Twitter is almost never good for the trendy. It's almost never a good thing.
And what's Pat Sajak going to do this summer? I mean, you have spare time on your hands. What are you doing? Are you traveling?
What do you care?
Because I feel like, you're going to retire in a few years. Yeah. Somebody needs to step up their game. Maybe that's me.
In dog years, I've only done the show about 8 years.
How many years has it been? Wheel of Fortune.
I started in December of 81, so I'm in my 33rd year of doing the show. The nighttime show, the one that people know, went on the air in 83, so it's in its, we're just finished 31 years of that. I'm doing some traveling. Actually, I'm doing a play this summer. Once a year I usually do a play somewhere and just to have fun with that. And this year I'm doing it in Hawaii, which is great because if you stink, you're in the Pacific. Who knows?
Yeah, who cares?
Yeah, exactly. So, so that's it. And I have no trouble. If I get up in the morning and I don't have any, I look at my calendar and it's empty, it doesn't bother me in the least.
Really?
I'm happy to roll back over, play with the dog, burp, whatever I need to do. So I'm not a driven guy.
Can we talk about the talk show? You had it for a year and a half?
Yeah.
How much fun was that?
It was great fun.
I really like you, and you're a likable person. I'm surprised it didn't work.
I am, too. I'm stunned. Let's put it, it's possible it didn't work because it stunk. I don't know. But I think it was actually pretty good and pretty credible. A couple of things happened, I think. Number one is when I took the job, this was on CBS, and was opposite Johnny Carson, which could be suicidal, but the conventional wisdom when I took the show was that was going to be Johnny's last year. Well, it turned out not to be. And when we started the show, I actually consciously made the decision to sort of make it a mirror image of The Tonight Show so that when Johnny did leave, hey, Pat's already in place, we like him, we're comfortable. Excuse me.
Gotcha.
But so Johnny didn't leave. So you had a choice between Johnny and Johnny Light. I would have chosen Johnny, too. The other thing I think that happened, as I think back on it now, is that, I was still doing Wheel of Fortune, and, you know, game shows have a certain image, and game show hosts do, kind of hokey or, you know, not exactly cutting edge. So there are a number of people who would say, who probably younger people say, I'm not going to watch a show hosted by a game show host. Why am I going to do that? And then people who like the game show would watch it, and nighttime talk shows have a different energy than game shows. It's a little more cutting edge.
It's a little more edgy
and all that stuff. And so what's this nice guy Pat doing, this kind of humor? So I was sort of in no man's land, I think. But I still love doing it. I mean, I got to feed straight lines to George Burns and meet people I admired all my life. And it was great. I mean, I wish I'd gone on longer, but it was great fun. And there comes a time about 6-8 months into it when you know you're not going to be there for 30 years. And the writing's sort of on the wall. But it's kind of liberating. You say, okay, I'm going to really have fun with this until they tell me I can't do it anymore. And they did.
Right.
Well, so, and this Letterman guy has been doing it ever since. And I assume when he leaves, they'll ask me to come back.
They asked Stephen Colbert.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
So much for that theory.
Well, I really appreciate you coming by. This is nice of you.
We're always
in Culver City.
Yes, you are. Yes. Which is where we tape our show. We tape right down the street at the Sony Studios.
Did you come straight from Wheel of Fortune?
I did not.
No. I wish you would have just told me yes and lied to me.
Yes, I did. I was
just
over there. Vanna is outside now in her spangled
gown. Is she waiting
gown.
In the car?
Yes. We're taking her sequins to be dry cleaned.
Have you ever stopped by the Culver Hotel into the lobby and had a drink and listened to the band?
I have not.
Well, if you want to, theculverhotel.com. You can stop by Swing. They've got live entertainment every night, a great
right down the
hour.
Street, that's where we're staying, Pat.
You know, Culver City has become a really happening little town.
It's beautiful.
When I first started doing Wheel here, it was a sleepy little burg, and now it's restaurants and clubs and the Culver Hotel.
Theculverhotel.com.
It's a fun little area.
What do you guys, you have an interest in that?
Well,
we're staying there. We got to thank them.
Oh, okay.
Yes, that's how it works.
It has a nice history, that hotel.
That's where the Munchkins stayed from The Wizard of Oz.
That's right.
They slept three across the bed.
I believe they represented the Lollipop Guild.
In fact, they did.
They really did. Yeah. And he's got the mustache like the Munchkins, like the mayor, doesn't he? The host of Wheel of Fortune, you can check it out at weeknights at 6:30 on ABC 7. The great Pat Sajak. Thank you for coming
in. Thank you, guys.
Let's take a break. We're live in Hollywood, 720 WGN.